So, today I'm going to be speaking about glorifying Jesus. The title is Make Him Big. And so, that's what I'd like to do. And of course, we set up the chairs like this once a month, and we focus our attention on the table, which represents blood and the body of our Lord Jesus, and it gives us an opportunity to focus on Him. So I thought it would be great if we spend the message time talking about what it means to glorify Him. How's that sound? All right, good. Well, last week we left off in the book of James, James chapter 4. If we could just turn there real quick. So when I'm done speaking, I'm going to turn it back over to the elders, and they'll lead us through the communion service here. And then we're going to have a fellowship meal right afterwards. So welcome anybody who might be visiting, guests today, to join us with that. James chapter 4, verse 6. That quote right at the end of the verse is what we're focused on there. It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so in our efforts to glorify Jesus, this is where we want to start. This is our springboard right here. My plan is to first talk about glorifying, just glorifying in itself and what that is and how we do it, and then talk about glorifying Him in our meetings and our meetings here together and how that can impact our lives when we leave this meeting, how we can become better equipped to glorify Him outside of this meeting. And then finally, I just have a challenge for each one of us to make it a practice to glorify Him more. So that's the plan. We'll see how well we do with the plan. If you'll turn with me to John chapter 3, along the same lines that we just read, this is John the Baptist speaking, and he says in verse 30, He must increase. And who's that? That's Jesus, right? He must increase, but I must decrease. And who's that? That's me, right? That's me and you, and that's John the Baptist and this, but it's us, isn't it? So the point is that to glorify God, we've got to decrease. We've got to be made lower in our minds than we are sometimes. And that He needs to be raised up. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So turn with me to 1 Chronicles 16:29, and that's 16:29. 1 Chronicles 16:29, and that's where we're going to take a look at what it means to glorify. All right. Really simply, give to the Lord the glory that's due His name. Bring an offering and come to Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So here's my point. Number one, that we need to be glorifying Him, and here's the deal. He doesn't need our help to be glorified. We just need Him to give Him the glory that's due His name. He has glory built in. He already is glorious. And so He doesn't need our help to become more glorified, but we need His help to become less glorified. So that's the point. We've got to decrease so that He can increase. We're talking about glorifying Him. So the ability to bring glory to Jesus is reserved for the humble. So the more humble we become, the more we can glorify Him. And so now that's the point that I wanted to make first of all, is that in this glorifying Jesus, that it isn't about making Him out to be something or making Him shine. He already shines. We just have to let people see it. And we do that, what we're going to talk about is with our mouths today. We do that. But if we turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, we can see that it isn't just our mouths that we use to glorify Jesus. In Matthew chapter 5, we read more about this. Starting in 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So today, primarily, I'm going to be talking about glorifying Jesus with our mouths, but that's not how it's done completely. We glorify him with our lives. If our mouths are saying one thing, Jesus is so good, and our lives are saying something else, it's not working out really well. So let's not forget that. I'm not going to be going into details about glorifying him with our lives. That's for a whole nother series. But today we're going to be talking about glorifying him. So what does it mean to glorify? If I were to ask you what it means to glorify something, what would you say? To shout it out. To lift up. Very good. In fact, that was said, right? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What else? Anybody else? To speak well of. Very good. Anybody else? To praise? Yeah, that's right. Anybody else? To show something is good? Right. To really highlight the good stuff about something, right? Who glorifies things? It isn't just us that glorifies Jesus. We also glorify things. We glorify other people. In fact, you could say, in a sense, I glorified the elders when I asked them to stand up. I made them just a little bit higher. I highlighted them, showed that they were elders, and I appreciated them. So everybody can think about them and can look at them a little bit more. In a sense, in a small sense, I glorified them. Now, when we choose to buy something, I'm going to say that that thing that we chose to buy may have been glorified by somebody. So let's just use a box of cereal. All right? Who buys cereal? Anybody buy cereal? We buy cereal. Well, okay, so cereal, you go to the supermarket and there's cereal over the whole aisle, right? There's a whole aisle devoted to cereal. And for some reason, we choose one cereal over another. Why is that? My argument is that that cereal has been made a little bit better in our minds than the rest of the cereal. Maybe it tastes a little bit better. Maybe it's cheaper. Maybe it's more nutritious. Maybe we just like the brand. It makes us feel cool because all the cool people eat that cereal. Right? So we make a decision and to eat that certain cereal. We make that choice. And I'm going to say that somebody has influenced us to make that choice. Sometimes it's just a commercial. Right? The commercial talks about how good it is. Now when we go to the store, we're thinking about, well, how good it is. That stuff is good. I remember the commercial. Or maybe I'm going to go out and buy some cereal, I say to my friend, and I call you up and I say, Brad, I'm going to go out and buy some cereal. And you say, Trix. Trix are the kind of cereal you should be getting. They're the best. They're the coolest. And so now, for some reason, when I go in the cereal aisle, Trix are a little bit bigger than all the rest. In a sense, he has glorified that cereal. He's made it a little bit brighter than the rest. So that's how we glorify stuff. We talk well of it. We speak well of it. We lift it up. We kind of praise it a little bit. We do this with people. We do this with stuff. We do this every day. All the time. Right? You agree with that? Tricks are for kids. So that's what it means to glorify. It just means to make it a little bit brighter. That's why the message is entitled, Make Him Big. So like I said at the beginning, he doesn't need our help. He's already big. He's glorious. He's the best thing that we could ever experience. He's bigger than the biggest celestial body that we could ever hope to see with a telescope. He's stronger than our strongest idea. He's the biggest. He's the brightest. He's the greatest. He's the most eternal. He's the self-existing one. He doesn't need our help. But what he does need help with, since we are his body, is he occupies such a small space in the minds and in the hearts of people our duty is to talk about Him so much that in their minds and in their hearts, He grows. He grows and He continues to grow and He gets bigger and bigger and bigger in their minds. And when we glorify Jesus in that way, it makes it easier for them to make a decision to follow Him. Right? So that's the chief duty of man, is to glorify God. So what we're talking about is the basics. I've got a picture maybe. And when we talk about the basics, who knows who this guy is? Who is it? Vince Lombardi. And so at the preseason training, he stands up and he says, "Gentlemen," what does he say? "This is a football." You just can't get more basic than that. So when I talk about glorifying, that's our football. That's basic to who we are. The chief duty of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So this is our football that we're talking about today. We'll talk more about athletes a little bit later on. So when we glorify God, it makes it easier for people to decide to follow Jesus. Just like it's easier for me to decide that cereal box in the cereal aisle. There's so many choices competing for our hearts. There's so many options. There's so many stories out there. There's so many people that want to be the answer to our needs, to our problems. So here we sit in this room, and we have the answer. And He occupies such a small space in the minds and hearts of so many people. Our charge is to make Him bigger in their minds and hearts. To let His glory shine by what we say. So next I wanted to talk about, just in our meeting here, how as we meet together week by week, we can encourage one another to glorify Him with our mouths. And we do that already. One of the things I appreciate is the opportunity that's given to us between songs, through part of this service here, to give testimony to Jesus, to thank Him, to praise Him, to lift Him up. And so I really appreciate that. So what I wanted to do was just talk about another meeting that I go to and just kind of maybe parallel it a little bit with our meeting and see if there's any ideas. Because this meeting I go to, there's a lot of glorifying that goes on. It's on Tuesday mornings, and it's a business meeting. And at that meeting, we're not there to glorify Jesus. We're there to glorify ourselves and one another. It's a business meeting. Just like I said, you'll choose the cereal because somebody influenced you. Well, when we go to this meeting, it's for the sole purpose of getting people to know who I am and what I do so that they will refer me to their friends and family. So that's what we do on Tuesday mornings. So we go there and the meeting kind of goes like this. The main purpose, like I said, is to refer each other business. So it might be that you have a neighbor, Micah, that needs some tile work done, right? And so you say, "Oh, hey, I know a tile guy." And so you pass my name out. Then you come to the meeting and you say, "I've got a referral for Rob. I've passed his name out." So in that sense, he has glorified me a little bit. He's talked about how good I am, maybe. And don't sugarcoat it because I'm not that good. Excuse me. So that's what we do. We go around the room and we kind of pat each other on the back, build each other up, build trust with one another. So I started thinking, I thought, what would that look like if we were so enthusiastic with each other about glorifying Jesus? Now, here's how the meeting goes. First off, everybody is required to participate and everyone has to stand up and tell a little bit about who you are and what you do. So that's called a sales manager moment. And it's a short little commercial about who you are and what you do. And we're not going to go through that here, but just imagine if each one of us were required in our meeting to stand up and glorify Jesus in some way, to highlight an attribute of Jesus. Wouldn't that be cool? And wouldn't it be easier then to refer him out to our friends? So in this meeting also what we do is, so we did this Hail Mary moment, and then also there's a time where we call it the most important part of the meeting, where we pass referrals to one another. And we give thank you for closed business, and we also maybe give a testimonial about one of the businesses in the room, right? So again, a lot of glorifying goes on in the room among the members there. And here, our chief aim is to glorify. Okay, our chief aim is to, that's right, that's a little better. Whew, I was a little bit worried there for a minute. Our chief aim is to, that's right, that's our chief aim. Okay, so thinking about this meeting again, now everyone is required, and it's a full participation. Again, we go around the room and everyone has to share what they have. They have either a referral for somebody, or they have a thank you for a closed business, or they have a one-to-one follow-up. They've met with somebody else outside the meeting to kind of get a little bit better understanding who they are personally and as a business. And so what would that look like for us? What would it be like if you came in and you said, I just wanted to share an experience of how I told my friend about Jesus? It might go something like this. There was a builder recently that I talked to, and we got onto spiritual things, and so he was telling me that he was kind of aligned with Catholics, and I was getting really concerned that he was maybe relying on his good works for entrance into heaven. And I don't believe that our good works have anything to do with us getting into heaven. So I was really concerned that that's where he was at. And so I shared with him that there's a difference between religion and Jesus. And I said the difference is in how it's spelled. And I said that religion is spelled D-O. And Jesus, following Jesus, is spelled D-O-N-E. And so I said to him, I said, Ben, the problem with religion is we never know when we do enough. How do you know if you do enough? Following Jesus and relying on him for entrance into heaven relies completely on what's already been done for us. No question. It's what he has already done. And so then I was able to feel a lot better knowing that I referred Jesus to him as the answer for his soul's need. And so that encourages us if you share with us your stories about how you shared Jesus with somebody. You had a referral with Jesus. So in our meetings every Tuesday morning, these referrals are tracked. They're tracked like business. And, you know, how many referrals were passed? How many of those referrals resulted in closed business? And it's important stuff. And we do it for a temporary crown on Tuesday mornings. Here, we do it for an eternal crown. So how much more should we be keeping track? How much more should we be training and learning and growing so that we can share and so that we can glorify him and make him bigger in the minds and hearts of people that are around us? And it isn't just the people that are out there. It's us. He needs to occupy a bigger space in the hearts, in my mind and heart. Okay? Just to make it real. He needs to be bigger in my own life. So I'm guessing that maybe there's one or two out there also that could use a little bit clearer picture of how big he is. And then maybe there's, what we also do is we thank people for closed business. So maybe you've come here and you're here as a result of somebody sharing with you about the love of Jesus. It's really encouraging to us for you to stand up and share a thank you to Jesus for what he's done in your life. So it's just really encouraging stuff. So as we meet together, those kind of things, giving a testimonial about the grace of God in our lives, giving feedback about referring Jesus to somebody who's met our need. Maybe you stand up and you say, as you're sharing a highlight about one of the attributes of God, you'll stand up and say, if you're struggling, if you've got burdens that are too heavy for you to carry, Jesus said, take my yoke on you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He can take your burden away. It's that easy. Just read the Word of God, find some attribute in there that could bless us, and stand up and share it with us. It's just a real blessing. So, starting on this side of the room, we're going to go this way, and then, no, I'm just kidding, but you get the idea. Full participation. It isn't just the guy up speaking to you. We're all part of the group. In our weekly meetings on Tuesday, one of the other things that happens is someone is chosen every week to give a 10-minute topic about who they are and what they do. So in the same way, here, what about having someone give, one of the brothers here give a short message about who he is and what he does. Talking about Jesus. Talking about God the Father. See, I think that would be really cool. And I think that would be really encouraging for us all. What do you think? So lastly, I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians 9. Remember I said I wanted to do three things, talk about glorify, what it means to glorify and what it means to glorify Jesus. And then I wanted to talk about how glorifying Him in our meeting can be a real blessing to us here and also outside of our meeting. And then lastly, about challenging us to make it a practice in our lives to glorify Him. And again, I'm just talking about with our tongues right now, but the same goes for with our lives. We've been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are His. All that you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do. So I'm just talking about one aspect of our lives. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified. There was a cool YouTube video that I thought about showing right now. It's about an athlete who is undergoing some really rigorous football training. So you just have to imagine how hard they train, because I decided not to put it up. But this guy is going all out, and you just get tired watching him. So what we know about athletes is that they train. They train like crazy. If they want to be top athletes, they train hours a day. What we know about athletes is that they test their limits. They see how far they can take it. What we know about athletes is that they keep score. They keep their stats. Like I said, in this business group, we track all the referrals, all the thank you for closed business, all of that stuff is tracked for a corruptible crown. So for us, looking for an incorruptible crown, how much more can we be training, testing our limits, practicing? And so these athletes, they play by the rules, they keep score. And once again, they do it for a temporary prize, but we, an eternal prize. So that's all I had to share. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you as a small local body, yet connected to your church worldwide, and we're so grateful for the opportunity that you've given us to live in you. And we thank you for the opportunity to share our lives with one another. And we ask you to bless each and every one here. And we thank you for just the joy of fellowship we can share as we eat together a little later on. And we thank you most of all for our Lord Jesus and who he is in our lives and how we have an opportunity right now to remember him and to renew again our love for him as we partake in these simple elements. We ask your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.